Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. When it comes to health care for pregnant women east of the river, the past several years have delivered little good news. Labor and delivery units for Providence and United Medical Center are both closed, raising the specter of a risky environment for expectant mothers. Well, tonight, there are some changes that may lessen the health risks for those expectant mothers. Joining me tonight to talk about this is Dr. Diana Lapp. She is the Deputy Chief Medical Officer for Unity Healthcare. If you have a question or a comment on this Medical Monday about healthcare east of the river, wards 7 and 8, here in the District of Columbia, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Dr. Lapp, thanks for joining me. I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
Talk to me a little bit about some of the challenges that expectant mothers are facing east of the river. I talked about it a little bit, but drill down a little bit more on that for me, please.
The challenge is, a large one, is that there is not a hospital to deliver at. So labor and delivery is missing, so you have the transportation issue. Another area that we're addressing is the care coordination between the community and the hospital where the patient is to deliver at, and that's where Howard and Unity are working together and have been able to improve that care transition.
When you say care coordination, what do you mean by that?
Meaning that we have access to high-risk OBs that are at Howard, specialty care, even within the obstetrician world, that. And so we have the coordination between them in regards to getting ultrasounds, in regards to getting if we need a consult for the high-risk individuals, and adding care coordinators, so someone specifically within our health centers who will coordinate a patient getting through the healthcare system, which can be complicated. So an example would be a patient who is HIV positive, and in fact can think of one where they were lost to care, were unable to find them. So we let our care coordinator know, one of our OBs let our care coordinator know. They were able to track that patient down out in the community, bring them back into care with, you know, a successful delivery, get them on the treatment to help prevent transmission to the baby.
Mm. Now, Unity is east of the river, and Howard University Hospital is here in Northwest. So explain to me what happens when a patient comes to your doorstep east of the river and is in need of care. And I'm not talking about in labor, but going through the process, first trimester, second trimester, and so forth. How does it work? What is the benefit of this partnership in that this person sees the medical professionals there? And so how does it help them when they are there instead of preparing to deliver?
The benefit is in the continuity of care. If you have an ultrasound at a hospital, you go back, that ultrasound is right there. In regards to communication in regards to we have an electronic medical record system that can be viewed by the hospital physicians. We have OB, obstetric physicians. We have midwives, and we even have family medicine physicians who do OB, and they see the patient in the community. And Ward 7 and 8, where we have 5 health centers, and then they are able to say, hey, come to Howard. That's where I deliver. and provide that continuity of care.
So when you, prior to this agreement, this partnership, Unity had this agreement with other hospitals, but Howard University Hospital is the new addition.
Correct.
I see. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about changes that may lessen the health risks for expectant mothers east of the river, wards 7 and 8. We are talking with Dr. Diana Lapp, Deputy Chief Medical Officer with Unity Healthcare. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Talk to me a little bit about how this would work and be helpful for high-risk pregnancies.
High-risk pregnancies are scary because we don't have a hospital east of the river that delivers since UMC has closed. But the earlier that we can get patients in, there is, you know, benefit to that. So we can identify any high-risk areas such as diabetes, such as hypertension, all items, you know, that make a higher risk pregnancy. So if we get them in earlier, there are things that we can do prenatally that would help and may decrease the chance of any, you know, maternal or fetal, you know, baby poor outcomes.
You mentioned midwives. We don't hear a whole lot about midwifery these days, although there is a segment of the community nationwide that still actively uses them, although some would argue that, you know, that may be something that happens out in, you know, either rural communities or suburban communities, but it is still very, very alive and well as a practice here in not only in the district but in other urban centers. Talk to me about the use of midwives with Unity and this situation.
So Unity is, we have always employed midwives. They're great. They're definitely a partner. They are the, you know, first line of access for our low-risk pregnancies. They work very closely with their OB partners. So any type of co-management or transfer of care for the higher risk happens right in our health centers. And they have shown to actually do very well in regards to maternal and baby outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
Nationwide, you know, there is evidence that it is actually beneficial for the patient. It gives the mother an option. You know, some people, obstetricians, may be more interventionalist, whereas midwives would be less interventionalist and can work with a patient and deliver and do a full range and scope of practice.
How are they different for those who are unfamiliar with midwifery? How are they different from doctors and nurses when you're talking about obstetrics?
So there is a different training. The nurse midwives go through more of a nursing curriculum, whereas obstetricians go through medical school and on to residency specializing in OB.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about health concerns and help for expectant mothers east of the river. Here in the District of Columbia. If you have a question or if you have a comment, give us a call. Again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Harriet, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I just want to say thank you to the Unity Healthcare building on Kenilworth Terrace. I'm a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, Incorporated, Beta Zeta Chapter. And the Unity Healthcare facility has allowed us to have our national program called StarksNest. Through the StarksNest program, pregnant mothers can come in, or those thinking about becoming pregnant can come in. They will receive classes from our sorority sister, Sora Georgia Davis, and her team of soras that are familiar with the StarksNest program. And for every time that the mothers go to their doctor's appointment, they can earn points. Those points are used at our StarksNest facility for them to earn or to receive, I should say, for free, clothing, diapers, laundry detergent and all other types of baby-related products, as well as some products for the expectant mothers. So I did want to say thank you for their generosity. We've been there a number of years now, and we really appreciate them allowing us to have our Storksnest at their facility.
Thank you so much, Harriet. I appreciate your phone call. Dr. Lapp, you are certainly welcome to respond to that.
I would also like to say thank you for enabling us to have the program. It's a wonderful program, and we do hope to expand it to another one of our health centers in the near future.
Mm-hmm. Is it difficult to get women to stay on the health process as it relates to their pregnancies? How do you get them to come in, whether they are at risk of high risk pregnancy or not? How do you get them to educate it?
It's a challenge. Word of mouth is a big way that we do it, and just providing the access to care and a seamless health care. You know, so it makes it easy when they have an ultrasound. You know, they can go to prenatal classes, and if they have a positive experience, which we thrive on and provide the quality of care and good outcomes, then they tend to return. So we also see that in regards to someone connecting with a provider, you know, early in pregnancy, then they want to follow that provider to wherever they are delivering.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about health for expectant mothers east of the river. Talking to Dr. Diana Lapp, Deputy Chief Medical Officer for Unity Healthcare here in the District of Columbia. Israel, calling from D.C., thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I'm just saying, like, it's no hospitals east of the river. So I'm like, when a woman goes into labor on that side of town, like, what is she to do? Have her baby in an ambulance?
I would agree. We need a hospital east of the river to be able to deliver.
And I think to that point, obviously, Israel's question is not a new question. A lot of people, politicians, health professionals, and community members have been talking about this very same issue for several years. Why can't Unity, for example, just build a facility just to deliver babies? Why do you have to have a hospital specifically?
Well, you need the OR operating room capabilities, mm-hmm, in case something turns bad. Bleeding, unfortunately, on occasion, women may need a hysterectomy or something in order to save the mother. So having, there are things such as birthing centers that are low risk, but the scary thing is when something goes bad, you want quick access to a higher level of care, which is at a hospital.
And just by what you're suggesting, you could have a low risk pregnancy for 9 months, and then on the delivery table, that low risk can become high risk very fast.
Yep. Things can turn south.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. Israel, thank you so much for your question. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. It's a Medical Monday, and we are talking about a partnership between Howard University Hospital and Unity Healthcare that could help turn things around regarding the health for expectant mothers east of the river in wards 7 and 8. Before I go to a break, is there a website that people can look at that will kind of outline some of the things and some of the changes as it relates to this partnership and other information that may be helpful?
So Unity, we do have a website, www.unityhealthcare.org. Mm-hmm. We are in the process of rebranding, so it goes along with our innovative, inclusive access to care. And as well as our new tagline, Healthier You, Healthier Communities.
Okay, and what's that website again?
www.unityhealthcare.org.
Unityhealthcare.org. When we come back, we're going to talk to Deborah calling from Landover. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue. On Sirius XM Channel 141, I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation after the break. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about changes that may lessen the health risks for expectant mothers in D.C.'s wards 7 and 8. My guest is Dr. Diana Lapp, Deputy Chief Medical Officer for Unity Healthcare. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One of the things that has happened, Dr. Lapp, since around the time that you were here last talking about some of these issues is the opening of not one but two pharmacies in wards 7 and 8. And some people who have access to cars, access to pharmacies in their communities, they may say, okay, what's the big deal? But the reality is that it is a big deal for those who do not have access to transportation, last minute transportation. Talk to me about the process of getting these pharmacies open.
So, yes, we saw a need and decided to open two pharmacies and one coming on board in the late fall or early of next year. In regards to access for our patients within our health centers that we can communicate with directly, because we know that there sometimes are barriers, and we can deliver. So we deliver medications to those that may have transportation issues, which we do know is a barrier, mm-hmm. as well as working closely with a pharmacist on complicated medication. You know, we review with patients. They're able to review directly with patients. We're able to communicate because they have, you know, access to our medical record again. So the communication and the seamless continuity of care is improved.
How do you believe these two pharmacies have made inroads in the community as it relates to health since they opened last summer?
Largely, it's in regards to improved communication between the provider, the patient, and the pharmacy. So the pharmacist, you know, if there is a barrier such as, you know, insurance issues, lack of money, you know, in order to negotiate the healthcare world is difficult. So you can write a provider, as a provider, I can write a prescription for diabetes medication. The next day or that same day right away, I find out that that is actually not the right medication for the patient's insurance. And if it was an outside pharmacy, there may be a delay in communication, whereas they call directly to me. It's a quick turnaround saying, hey, not only do they say this medication is not on formulary, they will tell me, why don't you prescribe this medication, which makes it a much more seamless, better patient care, good, better outcomes, and better patient satisfaction.
And you're planning on opening another pharmacy?
Correct.
Is it difficult doing that? This is a question that comes from a layman. So I don't understand what the process is for opening a pharmacy in a community that is challenged. And you're talking about three pharmacies within, 18 months. And so is it difficult to move to grow like that for this community?
Well, it does require licensing. And there's definitely the Board of Pharmacy and regulations around that. But we have been working and we partner with the Board of Pharmacy, you know, and the Department of Health in order to improve access. And you need the space. As a federally qualified health center, we also have access to 340B medications, which is a program.
340B?
Yeah, it's a program for medications for federally qualified health centers that give a good price that we can pass on mm-hmm. as needed to patients.
Speaking of drugs, we've often heard about the issues surrounding this severe drug crisis that America has been dealing with, and we've often heard that the drug crisis is not new to the African American community, and of course, as we've seen it in the suburbs and in rural communities, as we've seen this kind of situation grow, now everybody's paying attention, but this remains a problem in this community. Talk to me about what you've seen over the past a handful of years.
Yes, it's always been a problem, and access to, in regards to the opioid epidemic, access to treatment has been difficult. It's been largely limited to methadone and through certain clinics that are licensed for that specific medication. As you said, it's always been an issue. It has grown, and since it's gone rural, and also with the onset of fentanyl, the really deadly opioid that is killing, that there is more attention to it. So there's a lot of funding out there and availability, and also the onset of a new medication, buprenorphine, which prescribers, family physicians, internal medicine, our providers can prescribe with a special license after some training. So Unity actually has been at the forefront in this for the district in regards to medication-assisted treatment program. That's what it's called. And that can come through the buprenorphine. And we actually had 5 prescribers, but after we received a grant and a partnership with DOH, Department of Health, DC Health now,
mm-hmm.
That we have expanded to 18 prescribers. So patients are able to come in, and we're able to initiate buprenorphine. So that is a substitute for opioid to help with the addiction and in treatment of the addiction.
When I was growing up, heroin was, when you were talking about opioids, heroin was the big issue with the introduction of fentanyl and across the nation. Are you seeing that being the drug of choice for this opioid problem, or is it kind of running neck and neck with the old issue of heroin?
It's both. And I think oftentimes I'm not sure if patients are aware of what they're receiving. So, you know, the deadly one that is really killing out there, it's an addiction. So you're going to get what you can with access. You might not really know what you're getting. And it is deadly. So we have, you know, there is medication that can reverse that, that we would like out more in the community. But we have to give more doses if we have someone that presents, you know, with an overdose and they have trouble breathing and everything, and this medication, naloxone, will reverse that. But we have found that we've had to give more in order to reverse that.
Mm. From your perspective, what is the thing that concerns you most when you're looking at these communities east of the river and this particular opioid issue?
It's concerning that we need even more access to. There's a lot of people that want treatment and want help, and there aren't enough resources. So all we can do is continue to grow that. That is something actually we're looking and working with Howard on. They have a new department chair for psychiatry, and this is one of his specialties. So we've actually working to ideally apply for some grants through the National Institute of Drug, NIDA, as well as SAMHSA, Substance and Mental Health system administration.
Lots of alphabet soup there,
yep.
but critical organizations, National Institute on Drug Abuse, obviously one I'm familiar with from working with them decades ago. Mm-hmm. But I need to take another break. When we come back, we want to talk a little bit more about preventative care, basic checkups, and what Unity would like for you to know as we move through this Medical Monday. We'll be back in just a moment. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about changes that may lessen health risks for expectant mothers and others in D.C.'s wards 7 and 8. My guest is Dr. Diana Lapp, Deputy Chief Medical Officer of Unity Healthcare. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Zero. So you and I were kind of laughing about this during the break, and I finally got the saying right. An ounce of prevention, and I almost got it wrong again. You heard that. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Talk to me about some of the issues regarding preventative health, how you are trying to get people to come in and take care of their health before things go wrong.
So for Unity Healthcare, mm-hmm. we do specialize in primary health care. So that is the foundation of prevention. There are a number of screenings that are recommended for everyone, from babies to teenagers to adults to the elderly. That is our focus. And by all means, you know, even going in once a year to get your blood pressure check, that's what we want. That is why we're out there in the communities. We have 9 community health centers throughout the district. We are in 10 homeless shelters. We have we're in 2 school-based health centers, as well as the DC jail. So access is a big aspect of it, and we can't encourage enough anyone and everyone to visit, you know, their doctor, because they might not know what those items are in regards to, you know, colon cancer screening, you know, screening for diabetes if indicated, and other items.
From your own observations, Dr. Lapp, we know that infant mortality east of the river is higher than perhaps anywhere else in the district. HIV, diabetes, breast cancer, prostate cancer, all of those things. Why is that?
Wish I knew all the answers, but some of it is the specialist care is not there. So increasing access to specialists, you know, within, and that's what we're working with Howard on, you know, to increase that specialist access within the Ward 7 and 8. If you look at the specialists, they're largely located at academic centers and not east of the river. Multiple reasons for, you know, just the health disparities that we see, and Unity is doing its best and continue to work with others and with partners in order to address these disparities.
You're bringing on dozens of nurses. Talk to me about that.
So we operate from a, you know, patient-centered medical home. So we have teams of care, and within those teams is a nurse. So that is, they are vital. We have grown the number of nurses that we do have within our health centers, and just see them as key in regards to education, access, you know, triage in regards to, we have walk-in at all our sites. And if someone has an issue, we want to be able to address it at the time and meet the patient where they're at.
Obviously, as you mentioned regarding the pharmacies and the growth of Unity and partnerships like the one that you have with Howard University Hospital, there is a process. This stuff does not happen overnight. There are resources, financial and otherwise, that are needed. But I only have about another minute or so. But if you had your druthers and you had access to the kinds of resources that you believe these communities need, what, short of building your own hospital, short of building your own hospital, what would things look like if you had the resources?
There would not be the health disparities that we see. The healthcare within, you know, east of the river, the maternal mortality rate would be the same throughout the district. It would be below the national average. Mm-hmm. And infant mortality across, you know, the items you mentioned, cervical cancer, prostate cancer, breast cancer, all those would, that disparity would go away. That would be my dream.
Well, let us hope that does not just remain a dream. But I do want to thank you, Dr. Diana Lapp, for coming in, Deputy Chief Medical Officer of Unity Healthcare. I appreciate you coming in, and good luck as you try to increase healthcare, not only east of the river, but wherever your centers are around the district. So again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, July 16th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR.